We have been going through the book of Ephesians, and this morning we'll start with, I think, the verse that Adam ended with last week, which is Ephesians 5:21. But if you back up a few verses before that, in verse 18, Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit," and then he elaborates on what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And among other things, being filled with the Holy Spirit means submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, it's no accident that the Apostle Paul gives the most detailed instruction in the Bible on the relationship of husband and wife immediately following this verse. That is very intentional. Listen to God's word and the instruction that Paul gives to wives and husbands in the body of Christ. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, before we dive into applying this text, I want to share six preliminary thoughts with you really quickly. Number one, let's just acknowledge that this teaching is very unpopular in our culture today. This is very unpopular. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Not very popular in culture today, but you need to know that we are not interested in trying to be popular with today's culture. What we are interested in is understanding what God's word has to say and how do we live that out in our lives. Number two, if you struggle with the wording of, you know, a text like this, and specifically this text, then I urge you, please listen to the whole sermon. People get fixated on words like submit because they think they know what this is saying. I mean, if we were to go out and survey people in our culture, they would think they know exactly what this means. But you need to hear these words in the context of everything that Paul says to husbands and wives and the way that we live out these marriage relationships together. So listen to the whole sermon. Number three, you need to know something that's sort of unique here, in that in the original language of the text, the word submit actually does not appear in verse 22. It's part of the English translation in verse 22, and rightfully so, but the verb actually goes back to verse 21. So here's how it reads literally. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And verse 22, literally, wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. So the word submit is actually picked up from verse 21, which is why our English translations say submit to your husbands in verse 22. So the translation is correct, but we need to understand the command for wives to submit to their husbands is in the context of husbands and wives both submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, it's important to recognize this because if you're just reading through your English translation, you won't understand that this is really what's going on behind the English translation. Number four, it is also easy to miss something, quite frankly, just because of the way the English translation breaks up the chapters in the Bible that you're looking at in front of you, if you're looking at your Bible. Here's how it looks in the ESV Bible that I read. There are these section breaks, which are extremely helpful, and I'm really glad that they're in the Bible, but occasionally they can be confusing. Because when you see a section break like this, it's easy to think that Paul has finished this whole section up here about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And now he's on to a brand new section, right, about husbands and wives and relationships in marriage. But that's not the case, because Paul didn't write in section breaks. He just wrote straight through. He's giving instruction for marriage, but it is intended for two people who are living with the Holy Spirit, living filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a radical new approach to human relationships. In the Spirit, we live out marriage, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. So this up here, verse 21, sets the context for this. All right? We have to understand that. Number five, I almost didn't even put this in, but I thought it's important to say. It's important here to notice that Paul is speaking specifically to wives about their own husbands and not to women and men in general in the church. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And I point this out because occasionally over the years, I've heard these false kind of ideas that there's this hierarchy in the church between men and women. And that is not what he's saying. He's talking about wives submitting to their own husbands in the context of a Christian marriage. And one final preliminary remark, number six. Some people put a lot of energy and effort into trying to get the scripture to say something different than what it says, trying to sort of update Paul for a modern age, you know. And people will even latch on to other things that Paul says. Most notably, in Galatians 3:28, Paul says, "There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ." So people will argue that Paul has really refined his thinking. And really, we need to understand that in Christ, all roles disappear and they go away. And in Christ, there is no male and female. Right? That's what he says in Galatians. And you will hear this verse pointed to a lot to try to argue that there's this sort of egalitarian no distinction between husband and wife roles in the church because of this. But Paul wrote Ephesians, which we're studying, 10 years after he wrote Galatians. He's had 10 years to refine and understand his thinking and how he's going to present this to the church and grow in his walk with the Lord in that time. And he says very clearly, wives are to submit to their husbands. And not only that, but Paul says similar instruction at least five other times in the New Testament. Very similar wording. Peter does the same thing. So we can't just dismiss these teachings and these words as something that's relegated to the ancient world and Paul sort of refined what he was thinking. No, the Bible is very clear to Christian wives when it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So we can't just dismiss this text and pretend it's not there and sort of move on to the rest of Ephesians. So since we can't ignore it, let's dig a little deeper on what does it mean? What does this mean? Well, literally the word submit means to arrange under. To arrange under. Submit is actually a military word. And it means that in the military, when this word was applied there, you give up your individual rights for the good of the whole. Now that makes a lot of sense in the military, doesn't it? Because you have to arrange yourself underneath the good of what the whole is trying to accomplish. I mean, you can't just go eat meals whenever you want, and you can't go to bed whenever you want, and you can't get up whenever you want. You can't do the drills that you want to do and march whenever you want to march. No, it wouldn't work that way. You are part of a bigger whole, so you have to submit your will, your desire to the whole. Submission is critically important when we think of something like the military, because if each member is not living in submission to the group, people will die. I mean, this is important. So whenever you are part of a group, even if it is just a group of two, submission is critical to the functioning of the group as a whole. Submission does not mean that one person is of more value than the other person. That's really important that you hear. Submitting yourself, arranging yourself underneath another, in no way means that you are of less value than the person to whom you are submitting. If you want ironclad proof of what I am saying here, then the very nature of the Trinity itself shows that equality of value does not require equality of roles. Jesus chose to place himself in full submission to the Father. And very obviously, Jesus is not of less value than the Father. Right? Different roles does not mean different value. Okay, well, what does this all mean? Let's look at verse 23 and 24, where Paul gives the reason why wives are to submit to their husbands. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So he's saying, if we want to understand what it means for the husband to be head of the wife, we have to understand what it means for Christ to be head of the church. Because that's the example. I think the reason people bristle at the idea of biblical headship when it comes to marriage is because they don't take time to understand what does it mean that Christ is head of the church? What does that mean? Christ does not exercise his headship for the purpose of manipulating and controlling the church, does he? That's not what he does. His headship is actually exercised in his suffering for the church. Yes, his headship means that he has authority. He has authority over the church, of course. He is the unquestioned leader of the church. But his leadership is always a servant leadership. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's what biblical headship is. That's how Christ is head of the church. So the same thing is true for husbands and wives. In the renewed relationships that he is building in this human community of the church, the leader is a servant. That is just the way Jesus has set it up. In fact, he says very strongly, whoever would be first must be the servant of all. So do you see the picture? Biblical submission is a voluntarily arranging yourself under another person, submitting to their leadership. And biblical leadership is a serving of the other person and making their needs as more important than your own. I exist for the sake of serving you. It's a beautiful picture. And it sounds an awful lot like verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, doesn't it? Mutual submission. I submit to you as the leader of our home. I serve you as the leader of the home. I serve you. Mutually submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, our culture sees the abuses of male headship and male leadership, and certainly there are many abuses that we could talk about. Certainly this has been abused and is to this day abused. But our culture sees the abuses and wants to remove all roles of authority and submission and differences between husband and wife and the roles that they play. The Bible doesn't do that. What the Bible does is the Bible redefines authority in terms of service and sacrifice. It is a completely different picture than what the world and what our culture thinks that the Bible says. The authority that I have in my marriage relationship should be exercised in serving my wife, never seeking to control her. It should be modeled after the one who, although he possessed absolute authority in all the universe, instead totally submitted himself, serving our needs, even to the point of paying the ultimate price of sacrificing himself, dying on a cross for us. That is biblical leadership, as defined and modeled by the leader of the church. And the scripture says that's where we look. That's what it means to be the leader of the home. So what does this mean for our marriages? It means that my wife is being asked to submit not to a tyrant who is trying to exercise control over her, but to someone who is striving to serve her. Someone who is supposed to be laying down his life daily for her. Who is supposed to be caring for her needs, even above my own needs. That is the standard. Jesus expresses sacrificial care, not control. Now, if Christian husbands really lived like that, I don't think too many women would have a problem with submitting themselves to that kind of leadership. The problem, of course, is we don't live like that. I don't love like that. And submission is hard. It's hard for wives to submit to their husbands because, frankly, I fall way short of what the example set for me in the Bible is, Christ's love for the church. And this is why the end of verse 22 is so important. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I will never be worthy and somehow live a pure and holy enough example that I deserve for my wife to submit to me, to my leadership. Her submission must be as part of her overall submission to the Lord. Submit as to the Lord. Okay, there's a little more instruction for wives at the end of the chapter, but let's turn our attention to where Paul goes next, and that is his instruction to husbands. If Paul's instruction to wives focuses on the word submit, his instruction to husbands focuses on the word love. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Now, Paul has a lot to say to husbands. I mean, if you're just looking at your Bible, you can tell that. Because here's the little section in the Bible. That's how much he says to wives. That's how much he says to husbands. He has at least twice as much to say to husbands about their love for their wives as he does to wives about their submission to their husbands. And I think that's probably because it is not easy for us. It is not easy for us to overcome our self-centeredness and lay our lives down for another person. But it's so important because my wife is called to submission within the sphere of my unconditional love being expressed to her. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, the force of these words is staggering. I mean, every husband should be a little bit intimidated to just read these words here. The husband's responsibility towards his wife is to love her as Christ loves and cares for his bride. So let's get really practical here. This means that just as wives are called to submit to their husbands, even when the husband is not deserving of the wife's voluntarily placing herself under his authority, so husbands are to love our wives not just when they are acting lovely, not just when they are obviously deserving of love. We would all be in trouble if Christ only loved the church when we were deserving of love. We would all be in trouble. It is when we were unlovely that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for his bride. God didn't wait until we deserved to be loved. God showed his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of the leader of the church. That's what it looks like for husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's why Christ died. That's why Christ rose again. That's why Christ is currently ruling the world. He washes us clean. Everything he does is to present the church to himself in splendor, that she might be holy and without blemish. The picture here in Jewish marriage ceremonies was that there was this ritual bathing that took place before the wedding ceremony, and the wife was cleansed, and then she put on the wedding dress, and she waited for her bridegroom. And the entire picture and all the images related to it is a picture of love and care and concern. The husband is never pictured as using his authority to crush his wife, to force her into submission. Christ never does that to the church. He gives himself. He sacrifices himself. He lays down his life that she might become everything that she was created to be and that she might enter into the fullness of her glory. So husbands, Christian husbands, I challenge you by the Word of God to love your wife such that you are helping her to grow spiritually into the person who God has created her to be. To grow in her spiritual beauty. That's the picture. To grow in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Love her such that she is becoming all that God has created her to be. Your wife should be more like Jesus because she's living in relationship to you, with you. And that happens through sacrificial, loving care and not through lording control over her. And love her for a lifetime. I mean, Christ is committed to a lifelong beautification project with His bride. Is He not? And He will forever remain faithful to His bride, the church. I mean, one thing as a church we can count on with absolute certainty is the fidelity of the bridegroom. Wives should know that their husbands are absolutely committed to them for a lifetime. No question. Verse 28 says, in the same way husbands should love their wives, the same way Christ loves the church. When we see the husband's responsibilities through the lens of Christ's love for the church, we see that the husband's calling is to love his wife through self-sacrifice, through laying down his own life. His life lived in service for her more than it is for himself. And this means, as men, we must take on responsible leadership. So I know that it's true that some people abuse this sort of a teaching. And men have abused this sort of teaching to lord it over their wives. So please understand, I am not dismissing that concern at all. I know that that happens. But I think most men today are probably at a greater risk at the other end of the spectrum. I've had far more women talk to me concerned that their husband is not exercising biblical authority and leadership than I've ever had women come to me concerned that their husband is lording it over them. Both are wrong. But I think we hear a lot of objections in society today from feminists who are concerned about the abuses of male dominance. No room for that. No room for that in biblical marriage. But let's make sure that we're not in error on the other side and passively avoiding responsibility that God has called us to as husbands. The Bible calls us to accept the responsibility of headship, which means loving our wives as Christ loved the church. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So again, the scripture is very clear that headship in marriage is never to be used for a husband to suppress his wife and to keep her down and to keep her in her place. And I've heard all kinds of really terrible things in this regard. I heard a story one time where a woman had gotten a job and people in the church were concerned because she was working outside of the home, that she would fall outside of, I mean, just strange sort of ideas about what it means. He is to nourish her and cherish her, longing to see her become all that God has made her to be. That's what Christ does for the church. And that's what he wants to see happen in our Christian marriages. The husband and the wife have a role to play both for each other. Marriage is not about our personal fulfillment. It's about serving our spouses with a vision of their future glory and what God is doing and building and what is becoming in their life. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Paul is quoting from Genesis here, and we could do a whole sermon just on verse 31 and the two becoming one flesh. He's talking here about something so much deeper than just sex. He's talking about the church's union with Christ. Your marital relationship is anchored in the unity that the two of you have in Christ. In marriage is pouring oneself into the completion of the other. Both equally bearing his image, but each with a different role to play. That's the biblical picture. Different role, not different value. Each role complements the other. This is why at Christ Community Church, when we think of marriage and wife relationships, we would view it as a complementarian relationship. The relationships complement each other, but the roles are different. C.S. Lewis calls this a great dance. And I've actually asked my wife to come and help me with a little illustration here today. I never thought I would be dancing in church. But C.S. Lewis says, if two people stand side by side, they could actually play the exact same role. They could do the exact same movements, do the exact same thing, and they could remain together. Does that make sense? If you're side by side, you could remain together. And you could move together. Like so. And the two could do the exact same role and could remain together. But that's not biblical marriage. In biblical marriage, we're called to face one another, to live face to face. And if two people are face to face, they have to move differently and serve different roles, or they will never be able to stay together. Does that make sense? If we're facing each other and I move forward, she has to move back. If I step right, she has to step left. If we're doing the same roles and moving the same way, we will not be able to stay together. And Lewis says that's the picture of biblical marriage. So, we have to complement each other in order to stay face to face. That is the dance of marriage. And the roles have to be different, or the dance will not work. That's what Paul is teaching. And he concludes just by restating what he has said. Husbands, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Husbands, your wife will not become all that she is to become unless you pour love into her heart, sacrificing yourself for her. That is part of God's growing her into all that she is meant to be. And wives, your husband will not become all that he is to become unless you support him with a submissive respect. And my wife has done this for me so many times. There have been times when people, even fellow Christians, have made me doubt my own ability, even to continue serving as a pastor. Criticism has been such that I've doubted my own ability even to fulfill my calling. And it has been my wife respecting and encouraging me that has given me the strength and the confidence to continue on in God's calling. So spouses, you have a tremendous impact on one another's spiritual journey, spiritual growth. And you, whether you're married or not, I know this message has been towards those who are married about Christian marriage. But all of us need to let God love us so deeply. Ultimately, we will fail one another. But he is the one, that's the ultimate marriage, is our marriage union with Christ. Even our earthly marriages are within that context. He is the one that must satisfy our soul in Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And love one another as a response to his love for you. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for loving us, for creating us different. Lord, we don't need to pretend that there are no differences. You've made us different. You've made us male and female. And for many of us, you've brought us together in marriage to play different but complementary roles. Help us to receive your love so that we might be free to truly love one another. Help us all to submit to you so that we might learn what it means to live under submission to one another. Give us endurance. Help us to bear with one another, especially when relationships become difficult, which they often do in marriage. Lord, I pray that you would help the husbands here to love their wives as a reflection of your love and as a demonstration even of the way you love the church. And help the wives to submit to their husbands as part of their worship in living in submission to you. And Lord, give us faith to look forward to the ultimate wedding day, the wedding feast of the Lamb, when we will know your love in a perfect way, in a way that leaves us no doubt. Help us to look forward to that day and to live, whether we are married or not, to live in expectation of that day, that we are your bride and you are doing a work in us so that you will present us to yourself without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.